So, this morning, I want to start off by asking you a question. Do you want your life to have more impact? There's a few people. See, because what I've realized in my Christian life is this. I know my life should have more impact. I know my life with Jesus should have more of an effect on the world around me, and yet it doesn't. And yet it doesn't. And so how many of us have this desire and this longing to live for Jesus, to make an impact in the world around us, and yet we become busy, we become tired, we become burnt out? And so actually the question is, we've become like this. Next question. But do I feel overwhelmed? Do I feel overwhelmed by the things of life? That although I know what my heart's desire is, that I want to live for God, I want to make an impact for Him. The question is, but do I feel overwhelmed? Burdened? Stressed out? Too busy? Life just seems really hard work. And particularly as we come up to the rush up to Christmas, and we have that point where we're going, I've got to find a turkey, I've got to find crackers, and I've got to find this, and I've got to find that present, and this gift. We become busier and busier. And then some Christian will come up to you, some lovely member, and it might even be me, who will come and say this to you. And they will read to you the lovely words from the Gospels, from Matthew, where it says, might need a manual operation at the back there. There we go. From Matthew. And they'll pray with you and they'll say, Lord, we know though that your word says, come to me all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And they pray this over you, and you think, I want to hit you right now, because that's not how I feel, and that's not very helpful at the moment in time. Ever been there? I have both been on the receiving end and the giving end of that. I have many a time said, oh, Jesus says. But what's he trying to get at? What's he trying to get at? See, what I've noticed is that in my life, the more busy I become, the first thing to go in my life, the first thing to be squeezed out is time with God. Anyone else true for that? The first thing that goes is time with God. Jesus says this, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Jesus' words to the disciples are this, follow me. Jesus says here, come to me. And yet what we like to do is say, Jesus, come to me. Jesus, follow me. I'm in this situation, come and follow me in it. I'm in a really hard spot, come to me. Where I am is where I need you to be right now. But the words of Jesus are this, come to me. Follow me. We get it the wrong way round. I think this verse is best described and best explained in Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible called The Message. And he puts this. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It says there about walk with me, work with me. Walking with Jesus, following Jesus. And it's hard to follow Jesus sometimes, and it can be hard to do this. But that is the call of the Christian life. It says in Romans, the righteous shall live by faith. And what Paul's speaking about there is the fact that we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour by faith. We receive grace through faith, and we become righteous before God. But it's also the ongoing process of being people of God who live by faith. That as righteous people, we're going to live by faith. And you can know what your faith is in by what you're obedient to. Because what is faith? Faith is having a trust and a reliance upon something. A trust and a reliance upon something. And ultimately for the Christian, to walk by faith, to live by faith, is to put our trust and our reliance upon Jesus, both for our salvation, but in our day-to-day living and walking. My trust and my reliance is upon him. What's the demonstration of my faith in him? It's obedience to Jesus. It's obedience. Obedience is faith in action. It demonstrates what it is that I have faith upon. Because what you have faith in is the thing which has authority over you. What you're obedient to demonstrates what power you come under its control. And we hear that word obedience and we don't like it because it sounds a little bit like law. It sounds a little bit like the Old Testament, being obedient to God. And we go, but I'm saved by grace. I'm not under law anymore. But obedience is about aligning your life up with Jesus. You see, what I've discovered as Christians and what I do in my own life is I start living not following Jesus, not being obedient to Jesus, but I start living obedient to biblical principles, to good mottos in life, general loveliness. I'm a Christian, therefore I ought to do this. I ought to do that. And there's an element of truth to that. But the thing is, what happens then is you're being obedient to a set of rules. So your life is being governed by a set of rules, not governed by Jesus. And if your life is being governed by a set of rules, they have power over your life. But when you're being governed by Jesus, the Lord of all creation has power over your life. So how quickly do we as Christians slip into the pattern of creating rules and principles to live by, no matter how good they are, and that's fine, but when they outweigh the Lordship of Christ in our life, when they become an excuse not to have to follow Jesus, because it's often easier to live by a set of rules than it is to live in relationship with Jesus and respond to him. Because relationship with Jesus and obedience to Jesus comes out of intimacy with Jesus. You can only know what Jesus is saying to you. You can only respond to that through intimate relationship with him. The whole point of Christmas is the incarnation. God comes to man. He comes to us to give us the opportunity to be in intimate relationship with him. If it was just about being living by nice principles and nice rules that govern our life, he would have left the law in place because that's all that it was doing. But when you live that way, it leads to death because you're being governed. The most highest priority in your life is following those rules, those principles, those patterns, not living in relationship with God. See, when we have rules or patterns of life that we follow, that's easy. It's easier to have those and follow those principles than it is to have a relationship with Jesus. Why? Because relationship takes time. And in the busyness of life, we haven't got the time to spend with Jesus. So we go, as long as I'm generally living by good principles in my life, it's okay. And we slip back under law. We slip back under rules. See, we love rules because black and white faith is lovely. Have I done this? Yes. I haven't done this, or that's bad. We can tick ourselves off and say, I feel good today because I've spent time with Jesus, or I prayed today, tick. What did the Bible say? Tick. When I haven't done it, I think, oh, I feel condemned. And we talked about this in the series on grace. But we fall back into it as Christians because it makes it easy to judge how well we're doing in our Christian walk. And it's not about what you're doing. It's about who you're serving. It's about who you're in relationship with. Jesus says, come to me. Come where I am. That's your starting point. Come to where I am. Be in obedience to me. You see, when Jesus is the center of your life and when you're following him, in obedience to him, that's when you're living by faith. And how do you know that you're living by faith? Because you'll constantly find yourself in situations where only God has to come through, because you can't do it. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus, that he's the thing we trust in, he's the thing that we rely on, and we go, I'll be obedient to follow that call and follow that walk, we'll end up in a situation where we have to constantly keep relying on Jesus. We can't do it ourselves. We can't be that person. We can't fulfill the purposes of God in our life. Only he can do that. So when we step into that place of faith, we are left in a situation where I've got nothing I can do but be reliant upon him. Therefore, it's his problem. So what Jesus is saying is, come to me, because my burden, when you're in a place of faith, in a place of reliance upon me, my burden is light. Why? Because you're not having to carry it. Because I lead you to a place where I have to come through for you, where I have to do it for you, where you can't make it happen. You can't make it happen. If you're trying to make it happen, you're probably living under obedience to rules and principles, and things that you feel that you should be doing. But what does the message say here? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that as a phrase. What a beautiful way of interpreting that piece of scripture. The unforced. You can't force it into being. You can't force an intimate relationship with Jesus. It comes by being in his presence. It comes by waiting and resting upon him. It's not forced. It's experiencing the rhythms of grace. Putting yourself in a place where he has to come through for you. Not a place where you feel burdened because you've got so many things you need to try and do for Jesus. That's living back under principles and law. Jesus says, follow me. So many times in scriptures it talks about, be still and know that I am God. It talks about the idea of waiting on him. My soul waits for you, Lord. Coming to him. Coming to Jesus. It's not a kind of a, here's all my baggage, God, and make it better suddenly. Jesus is saying this. That picture of the yoke that we see. It's not one yoke. It's talking about a double yoke. The yoke that you do with two oxen. Jesus is saying, come and share my yoke. Come and share my yoke, what I'm doing. I.e., where I go, you go. The path that I take, you take. It's that I am yoked to him. Where he goes, I go. It's not me going over here and hoping that Jesus will suddenly make my burden lighter again. It's saying, no, my burden is light when I am yoking myself to Jesus. Where I'm letting him direct the course of my life. Where I'm letting him be the person that I follow. We are Christians, which means a follower of Jesus. We are called to be living our lives, yoking ourselves to him, following him. And how you know what you should be doing, how you know how to follow him, as I said, it's through intimacy of relationship. You get to know Jesus. This pairing here are quite close together. You can't have a yoke miles apart from each other. It's an intimate thing that you're doing. You're walking hand in hand with Jesus. You're yoking yourself to where he wants to go. He's saying, let me direct your life. Let me guide your life. Yoke yourself to me. Let him be the person who guides. Now, as I said at the beginning, what I find in my life is the more busy I become, the first thing that gets squeezed out is Jesus. What I've realized recently is that the more time I spend with Jesus, the more I get done. The more time I spend with Jesus, the more I can fit into the day. And this has been an absolute revelation to me. Because it's paradoxical. It shouldn't work that way. It shouldn't be that I spend more time with Jesus and can get more work done. I'm going, before, I was squeezing Jesus out, I couldn't get all the work done. I'm going, this shouldn't be the case. And I'm going to say to you, try it out. See whether I'm lying or not. Because what I have found is that by spending more time with him, I am more constructive in what I'm doing. Because I know what I should be doing, what I should be spending my time on. Not wasting it on things that don't matter. I learn that through intimacy with him. What does Jesus do? What's the whole pattern of Jesus' ministry? He draws away constantly to a quiet place. He spends time with the Father in intimate relationship. Then he goes out and he's obedient to what the Father says to him to do. Jesus doesn't go out and just be nice randomly to people and go, "Oh, bless you, that's lovely." He knows exactly what he's going to do, where he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it. Why? Because he's being obedient to what the Father has told him to do. He says that in John 5:19, and later on in John's Gospel again, he says, "I only speak what the Father gives me to speak." Jesus is our way of engaging with the Father. We engage with the Father by knowing Jesus. So we have an intimate relationship with Jesus, which gives us access to the Father. So just as Jesus ministered out of a place of intimacy with the Father, so we minister out of a place of intimacy with Jesus, following him, yoking ourselves to him, not just trying to do everything so we think it's a generally good thing to do that I do this. Say, no, has Jesus said to you that that's what you should be doing? Because if not, you're not walking in faith in that process. You're being obedient to some goodness, yes, but you're not being faithful to what God's asking you to do. And if you're not living by faith, you'll never see the miraculous realm of God's miraculous power. Because when you're in a place of faith where God has to turn up, that's when his power is released, because he's given permission to release his power. But when we are trying to do something, thinking it's generally a good thing I do this, but it's obedience to principles rather than being obedient to faith in Christ and our relationship with him, we're not necessarily putting ourselves in a place where we need him to break in. And it becomes heavy and burdensome because the pressure is on us, not on him. And he's saying, if you're in an intimate relationship with me, if you're following me, the pressure gets taken off, because he says, I'm responsible then. You're not responsible, I am responsible. And when he is responsible, his power flows through that. If you think about the people who are the most sort of spiritual people that you know, or people generally in history that you think, you know, they were quite a spiritual person, they were quite, you know. What you see is they're people who are obedient to what Jesus calls them to do. They're people who are obedient to the call of Christ in their life. And they do that. They don't concern themselves with other things that don't matter. They concern themselves with the thing that Jesus called them to do. I'm finding in my life at the moment that when I just spend time with Jesus and I do what he's called me to do and asked me to do, and in obedience to him, rather than doing the things that I kind of think are generally good to do, I'm seeing God's power at work. It's releasing more of God's power into my life and into the life of this church. And that is phenomenal, because I'm starting to live in a realm of faith rather than a place of law. And that's the freedom that comes with the gospel of Jesus. We get to live in this place of faith where he's responsible, where he takes control, where he will do it. But the challenge is this: when something's going really well in our life, it's really hard to give it up. I must share this story with you before, but I was talking to a minister of a church recently, and they had a huge toddler group. The toddler group was massive. They had over 100 families who were coming regularly to the toddler group. It was fantastic. They were so excited about it. And they were praying one day, and they felt God say, "Stop the toddler group." And they were like, whoa, but it's really good, God. It's going really well. We've got all these families who are connecting with the church. And God said, "Stop it." And they're like, "What? But it's really successful." And when something's successful, it's really hard to stop success. But God said, "Stop it," and they stopped it. And in its place, they set up a Bible study for mums with kids. And there's only about, I think it's about 10 of them altogether. But they started discipling those mums and those dads who were coming to this toddler group. And suddenly they had 10 disciples of Jesus rather than 100 people who were just connecting with the church. See, obedience will lead to real fruit. We mustn't judge success by superficial appearances. And when something is successful, it's really hard to hear God say, don't do that. Stop that now. Here's what I want you to do. That's stepping out in faith, to give up a successful organization and to do something completely different. That takes faith. But why was it successful in the end? Because they were stepped into the realm of faith, where God had to do it. They couldn't do it themselves. As a church, we are really good at doing stuff. And that is massively commendable. We are fantastic at doing stuff. And when something's on, we all gather around and we all get involved, and that is so awesome. And I love that about our church. But the danger is that we are becoming a church which is burdened and weary and heavy laden. And we're saying, Jesus, come to me. Jesus, follow me in this. Follow us as a church in this. And Jesus is saying, no, come to me. Follow me. We need to learn as a church, and we have to explore this as a season together now, of how we rest in the presence of God. Not doing, but just being. And hearing his voice, so that we are led and guided in obedience to Jesus, following Jesus, not by things that we think are generally nice things to do as a church. And that's the danger. I want to be a church which is obedient to following Jesus, not obedient to being a nice church. There's all these lovely programs and nice things. Because I want to be a church that steps into and walks by faith. And when we walk by faith, miracles take place. Look at the life of Jesus. When he's obedient to the Father, power of God breaks out. We talked about in our last series about how Jesus doesn't do the things that he does because he's God. He does them because he is a man filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to the Father. So what Jesus does, we can do. And the thing about Jesus' life that the disciples saw and went, how do we have that, Jesus? Was that he was intimate with God. He learned intimacy. The disciples come to him and say, teach us how to pray. Because when you pray, it releases God's power in your life. What's that about? And Jesus says, what's the first thing he says? When you pray, say, Our Father. It starts with intimacy. It doesn't start with my shopping list of prayers. That comes way down the Lord's Prayer. It starts with intimacy, your kingdom come, your will be done. You are God, I follow you, and I'm in relationship with you. Intimacy will release God's power in our life, because out of intimacy comes obedience. And when you're in obedience, that is faith in action. Just as James speaks about in James 2, faith without works is dead. Obedience to Jesus is a demonstration of our faith in him. Are you someone who is living by lovely principles and that's the thing that governs your life? Or are you seeking to yoke yourself to Jesus? To yoke yourself to Jesus is to enter into a place of intimacy with him. Daily, day by day, learning to hear his voice in all that we do so that we act upon what he says. We are led by his yoke, going where he takes us, not where we want to go, and asking him then to take off our yoke. That's not how it works. Come to me, not I will come to you. We need to get better at just coming to Jesus and just being and knowing it's his problem, it's his world, it's his mission of salvation. And yes, we're involved, but our involvement is being present with Jesus. And out of that comes our obedience to what he has called us to do.